Welcome to the WP Builds Podcast, bringing you the latest news, interviews, and fun for the WordPress community. Now, welcome your host, Nathan Wrigley.
Hello there, and welcome once again to the WP Builds Podcast. You have reached episode number 394, entitled New Show, Get It Optimized with Remkes de Vries, episode 1. It was published on Thursday, the 17th of October, 2024. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and before we begin that show, a few bits of housekeeping. The first thing to mention is that if you have a product or service in the WordPress space, you will know that Black Friday is just around the corner, and positioning your product successfully is vital. Well, we have a very popular page which comes out around Black Friday. It's live now. It's at wpbuilds.com/black. And for you guys out there who are just consuming WordPress products or looking for WordPress products, you should head over there and bookmark it, because as the days and weeks go by, I will be adding loads of deals, all the WordPress deals that I can find. Typically, there's about 400 on that page, and it's searchable and filterable. So wpbuilds.com/black, bookmark that. But if you are in the WordPress space with a product, why not go there and click the Add a Deal button? It's blue, and I will add your deal for free when you fill out the form. If you really want to go soup to nuts, there are some sponsor slots in the little black cards at the top, and you'll be able to see that WS Form and Gravity Form have taken advantage of that. But if you would like to have that pride of place top tier spot as well, hit one of the Get Started buttons on those little black cards. We'd love to get you on board. Once more, wpbuilds.com/black for all your Black Friday WordPressy stuff. One other thing to mention is that I'm involved in the WPLDN Masterclass, which is happening on Halloween, the 31st of October. It's happening live in person in London. And if you would like to find out more, head to wpldn.uk/masterclass. It's all about security. Tim Nash is going to be joining us and extolling his wisdom all about how to keep your WordPress sites secure. He is a security expert after all. So that's all happening under the auspices of WPLDN, or the WordPress London meetup. And again, the URL, wpldn.uk/masterclass. Join us for that. It's during the day. And why not stick around for the WPLDN meetup in the evening? There are two sessions, and we'd love to have you there. The last thing to mention is that if you have a product or service and you would like to advertise on the podcast, a bit like the companies you're about to hear from, head to wpbuilds.com/advertise to find out more. The WP Builds Podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with The Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also joined by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud, managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today for yourself at bluehost.com/cloud. And we're also joined by Omnisend. Omnisend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend, the email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Well, try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. And sincere, heartfelt thanks go to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, and Omnisend for helping keep the lights on over at WP Builds. Okay, what have we got for you today? Well, I am joined in a brand new show. You may have been listening to the podcast and you'll notice that there's a whole slew of these coming. I've done ones with Courtney Robertson. I've done ones with Tim Nash and Ray Moray. And this is a new one as well. It's with Remke Stavries, and he is a WordPress optimization expert, and he's on the show today. Hopefully the first of many to teach us how to get our site optimized. So we begin that journey today, and Remke explains the very basics, if you like, of optimizing your website. So he talks about the baseline things that you should be looking at. So for example, things like themes, page builders, and of course, your choice of host. I hope that you enjoy it. I am joined on the podcast again by Remke Stavries. Hey Remke, how are you doing?
Hey Nathan, how's it going?
Yeah, good. I love it when we do these podcast episodes. Like, we just begin the show like we've not spent the last hour having a right old chat about all the things that you can possibly chat about. Most of it not to do with WordPress, frankly. But right. Let's pretend like we've just met each other for the first time. Remke is joining me because, as with some other people, if you've been listening to this podcast, you'll know that I've started a show with Tim Nash. I started one with Courtney Robertson and Ray Murray, and Remke is joining that fine collection of people. He's going to be joining me every 3 months or so to do a show, which as yet is untitled, but it'll be something to do with optimization, speed, something around those kind of words. Yeah, performance, that kind of thing. So we'll come up with a title at some point. But firstly, Remke, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate that and your commitment.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, thank you. That's brilliant. Remke has been in the WordPress community since, I think, more or less right at the beginning. Do you want to just tell anybody who's listening who hasn't heard from you, just give us your little potted bio?
Yeah, so not the first year, but 2004 is when I started playing with WordPress as a hobby in the beginning. Built a few sites, was asked to build some more for other people, started charging money for it, and I could say, and the rest is history, but there's a little bit more going on than that. But let's just say that around 2010, it started becoming way more professional, more complicated type of sites. And then slowly but surely, performance and scalability became main topics in pretty much any build that I've ever done. I'm a quite active member of the community in terms of I've organized, I don't actually know how many, but I would guess I've organized 20, 25 WordCamps. I'm the co-founder of WordCamp Netherlands, co-founder of WordCamp Europe, and been quite active in organizing those alongside my agency. Recently we launched, and I say we because my co-founder, Bari Koi, we launched Scanfully, which is a WordPress performance monitoring tool. Just aligns with what I've always been doing. Very, very active in the WordPress community as a whole.
I recently saw you at WordCamp US. You were there and you were wearing a Scanfully t-shirt. So firstly, that was kind of nice, but it also tells me that you're kind of out in the wild about this product now. Because I think in the conversations that we've had, it was Scanfully. By the way, do you want to drop the URL for that so that people can pause the podcast, go check it out?
Scanfully.com.
Okay, so Scanfully.com. Really straightforward. Yes. So the fact that you've got a t-shirt tells me that it's like out in the wild now. Is that the case? Is it ready for public consumption? We're not got any beta label or anything on it yet? Or
No. We are live. We are about 20% with the features that we want to have. So it's a lightweight version from our perceived full set of features, but it's fully usable. We monitor for uptime, performance. We have certificate monitoring. We have a very highly configurable notification system. There's a WordPress events timeline, so everything happens inside your WordPress timeline of whatever you do in your site is recorded. There's a site health import, so you have insight into your site without having to log into your WordPress site. So everything is in one central dashboard. Nice. It's usable for anybody.
Is the intention for you, Remke, to sort of pivot over to Scanfully? Would you like to see that be the thing that you do? Because I know at the minute you've got fingers in many pies. Yeah.
Yeah. So the goal is there's two things: Scanfully, taking over whatever I do with my agency, and the second thing is within WordPress, which is my newsletter and podcast. And then there's a third thing being added to it shortly. That's my goal is to have those two be the main pillars of what I do.
Nice. Yeah, we should say within WordPress is a newsletter, drops on a Friday, and Remke's, well, typically a Friday. I don't know if you've ever sort of lost that schedule, but on a Friday. So if you want something to read over the weekend, WordPressy, check it out. Remke's puts a lot of thought into his newsletters. It's not like long. You could probably read it in, I don't know, top to bottom in 5 minutes, something like that. So definitely go and check it out. Would it be fair to say you've got like a, you lean more into the sort of tech side of things as opposed to the community side of things? Is it more related to speed, that whole thing?
Yeah. So Ray, for instance, has a wonderful newsletter as well. But that's more on the community side and general news. I try to have a performance and security perspective as much as I can. I try to focus on new features and how to use them. And also on the news that isn't being shared everywhere already. Give my ideas on it.
Nice. Well, firstly, thank you for doing those things in the community. So that's the community side of things. But once again, go check it out, scanfully.com. And as these episodes go on, it'd be kind of interesting to start the episode. You maybe just give us a Scanfully update. You can tell us what's new in Scanfully. That'd be quite nice.
Can do.
Yeah. Okay, great. So the endeavor of this show is to pop back in every 3 months or something. And Remkes, if something major has happened, maybe that'll be the focus for the episode. You know, if there's some sort of speed optimization thing which has dropped into WordPress core, or neat initiative or plugin or something that's dropped, we can mention those kind of things. But obviously we've got the whole of WordPress's history in this first episode to deal with. So I'll get an armchair. I'll put on the slippers and just hand it over to you and say, tell us. No. What are you going to talk to us about today? Obviously, speed-related, optimization-related.
Philosophy-related, actually.
Nice.
So,
expecting that.
Yeah, well, so the optimization of a WordPress site is generally seen as something that you do once you've stopped and finished the build, right? So the site's live, and then you go check, your core vitals. You check your whatever metric you want to use. It really doesn't matter. Ideally, you're using Scanfully for that. But there's many different types of ways to track what your site is doing in terms of performance. And though there's nothing wrong with that inherently, because yes, we want you to have optimized versions of your site, the general idea is that that is the wrong moment to do it. Meaning, whomever is building a WordPress site, right? This is very specific for people who actually build sites. And it doesn't really matter if you use a page builder or not. It doesn't really matter if you use WordPress's site editor. Any which version of a site is being built by the principles that you're aware of. And if you're not aware of optimization and performance while you're building, you're kind of just stuck at the end of, okay, now I have to fix stuff. And my goal is to, and this is also the content that I put out, is to start switching that. Let's finish at the end and by doing some optimization and bringing it back to where do I actually start from? What is my foundation? What is the blueprint or template collection, whatever you want to call it? What is my tool set look like? What am I actually using as a base, and have I verified that I'm actually using the most performant version? Switching to that sort of philosophy, to have your first steps be whatever they are, really doesn't matter where you start, but to have your first steps be cognizant of actual what is performance.
Okay.
How do I build this thing, and how do I maintain its scalability? And there are plenty of sites that maybe get 500 visits a month, and it's a brochure site, forms should work and everything like that, where you would think, it doesn't really matter if my site is fast enough or if I fix my slow site with a caching plugin and call it a day. Yes and no, because it's also about wasting resources. It's also about being smarter. It's also about reducing issues. So really doesn't matter if your site attracts a couple of hundred page views per month, or if that's a couple of hundred per second. Doesn't really matter. Hell, it can be 3,000 requests per second, and you'd still be on the right track by having performance optimization in the build process versus all the way at the end, because you'll have to fix too many things to make that happen anyway.
Okay. So really, you're advocating, if you're, so this is for builders, right? This episode is definitely geared towards people who are building websites. You're hoping to inject into their heads a set of criteria, a to-do list, if you like, of things to consider prior to the build so that you're on the right footing, rather than retrofitting after the fact and trying to turn a Morris Minor into a Ferrari.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of fun to shoehorn a Ferrari engine into a Morris Minor. Don't get me wrong. Much of my YouTube watch history is around revolves around these types of projects. I really enjoy those. So maybe that wasn't the best example here, Nathan.
No, you'd love that.
I would. But it's the philosophy before you begin, as well as the philosophy while you're building it. And the building, like I said, if you're using a site editor, in a way, you don't have to do much development anymore as you would previously with the classic themes and whatnot. So the group of people that should, you know, incorporate a slightly different approach is larger than just developers. It's essentially anybody who builds a WordPress site.
Okay. Really.
But yeah, the it's like with building of the house. If you want a solid house, you don't start thinking about it when you finish the roof. Your foundation is the first thing, and it's not even the foundation; it's the type of ground that you build on top of. So if it's a rock, it's a very simple question. That's the easiest. But then there's different versions of sand. There's different versions of building material that you use, and all of them have an impact on the rigidity. What's the word?
Rigidity.
Rigidity. There you go. And the every single choice while building it, from a construction perspective, as well as the actual material that you use, all of those have an impact. So the same thing goes for a website. You want to start off of a hosting that does what it's supposed to do in terms of it services your WordPress site in the most optimized version, meaning your database really shouldn't care if it's 40 gigs of size or just 300 MB, really doesn't matter. But you want to have the understanding that the hosting is the first place where you start. So it's comparable with the, what are you building the foundation on top of, right? So it's not the actual, what does my foundation look like? It's the step right before it. Like, so hosting, instead of just having a host that fixes performance at the end, and there's hosting companies that do that just by adding their very specific caching plugin, or recommending that you use any of the familiar caching plugins. But a hosting company that understands that it really shouldn't matter for them whether you're throwing a small site on there or a large site. It should just work.
The principle here, the building metaphor there is, you know, before you build the building, you go and inspect the plot of land. So correct. That you can see what the thing that you're going to be building it on looks like. And so obviously if it's made of clay, you've then got really difficult decisions to make about how you're going to go ahead and build that house. But if you've got this nice flat bed of rock, which almost looks like it's concrete, then you're in a different position. So you want to be going to the hosting companies with that in mind. So I'm guessing you're going to go into some of the specifics. So, okay, I've got it. I'm with you.
Yeah, so in general, I would say the thing to look for With hosting, we generally say you get what you pay for, right? So if you're paying a couple of bucks per month for a site, chances are you're not having the best version of hosting. And at a certain point in time, you have to accept that good hosting costs money. So I don't know where we should have the bottom line, because it really depends on what type of sites and how you're building and how many times you need to play around with it. But in general, you want to have a preferred partner that understands WordPress. So any of the well-known, and I lean more towards the premium hosting versions, because I want my foundation to be as solid as it possibly can be. But there's a whole bunch of hosting companies, and you'll find them at WordCamps, for instance. Some of them are on WordPress.org hosting. Not all of them. You'll need to do some research here, and you'll also need to be aware that if you start Googling for who is the best WordPress hosting, you'll find affiliated-based recommendations. It's got those things that you find online have nothing to do with who is actually a good hosting company. I would say if you look at Kevin Ohashi's review Signal findings, he's somebody who independently tests hosting in the most independent way of how you can test, and also in the most versatile way you can test. So his results actually speak something about the quality of the hosting.
I've seen Kevin Ohashi's commentary before, but I honestly can't remember where we find that. So what I'll do is I'll make sure that before this gets published, I'll put that into the show notes. So Kevin Ohashi, if you go to wpbuilds.com, search for this episode, and it will be there. And so his approach is to, does he have WordPress in mind? I can't remember.
Yes.
So he goes through and he does like a laundry list of like bulletproof tests, and he gets actual data out the other end, right?
Yeah. So you'll at least know what that hosting looks like verifiably in hard data. So you'll have a better understanding than just looking at marketing speak on a hosting company's website, or listening to somebody's affiliated verbiage.
That's very politely put. Is there anything that you personally, so obviously with big air quotes around it, because your definition will be different to somebody else who's got a website which is viewed four times a month, and that's fine for them.
Yeah.
Or the, you know, enterprise level website which has got 58,000 concurrent people on it and what have you. What are some of the things which you're going out looking for in a host? What are some of the things which are red flags if they don't offer, and are also kind of like, oh, come my way, that they do offer?
So I'm in the habit of building high performance, high scaling websites, which automatically means I need to look at what are the requirements that I need, and quite differently than most people. So if I look at what I need, it's a bit of it's a bit of a hardcore approach. But I'll give you an example in how I look at it. So the most important thing for me is raw metal speed, meaning nothing to do with metal music. Do love that, but that's not what I'm about here. You want to know how a site performs without any caching whatsoever implemented. No CDN, no front page caching, no nothing.
Can I just ask, sorry to interrupt, Remkes, is that phrase that you just used, raw
bare metal,
it's called. Bare metal. So could I Google that? Would that be a phrase that I could go out and, or is that just your way of describing
it? No, there's other people using it as well, but okay. I'm not sure everybody calls it consistently test for bare metal performance. But
okay, sorry to interrupt. I'll hijack you. Carry on.
So the bare metal needs to perform the best way. And the reason for this is your site, however well cached it is never 100% cached. Meaning there will always be, depending on what type of site you have, a significant or a slight percentage of users, visitors, that see your site uncached or components uncached. So that means if you're looking at high volume type of sites, that you need to make sure that both your cache hit ratio is as good as you can possibly get it. And that's a whole different episode to dive into how you can do that. But in general, I'll give you a good example of how you can understand why the testing for bare metal is so important. Let's say you're running a WooCommerce site. From the moment somebody adds something to their cart, your site is going to be presented uncached. If you run a membership site, from the moment you are logged in, your site is going to be presented uncached. From the moment you visit a newsletter, there's a link in there, you click on that link, you land on your site because of your campaign is supposed to be doing that. But if you have one of those tracking URLs in place, which most newsletters do, that page is also uncached. And thus we are looking in all those scenarios, we're looking at a raw metal. We are looking at the raw bare performance of what that site does, meaning we've bypassed caching for the most part. So this is a little simplified, a little black and white. There's more to it than how I explain it here. But the takeaway here is that your site, as well cached as it might be, is never going to be fully cached. So if you're looking at the problem you need to solve, like I need my site to be performant, I need my site to be fast, and I need to have this all, you know, with the least amount of thinking, and it just works, your hosting company is the first one to look for to solving the first problem. And the first problem is, how does my site look uncached? Which is, to come back to the first thing I said about the first step should be the foundation, like on which the foundation is built upon, so the rock. If you have a very rock steady type of hosting, then most of your problems already solved, right? So if the performance out of the box is fast, like fast, then it's only going to become slower with whatever you're adding to it.
Right.
And that's just a very different approach. So the understanding that not much is going to be solved for the cases where you have uncached visitors is for most people is even an entirely new concept. Like they've never heard of that before. Like, oh, wait, is that a thing? Yes, that is most certainly a thing. And I just named a few scenarios, but there's way more scenarios. Now, there are some hosting companies that solve this problem in one way or another, but there's no hosting company that solves all of these things in their caching layer. So that's a thing that you need to start with as your first assumption. I'm going to assume that depending on the type of site that I build, there's a very high chance of a high percentage of visitors to my site that are going to see an uncached version.
So if we were to go to Kevin Ahashi's website, and again, links will be in the show notes, then there is that kind of data available to us? And
in a way, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So how do you get so the metric for this is the time to first byte. The time to first byte is the time that it takes for your request in the browser and the server to respond, start outputting the requested URL. That's called the time to first byte. So that is a good indicator of how well your site actually works. So if the server responds fast, so a short time to first byte, but it then takes a very long time to actually produce something, then you know that your server is all right, but you have apparently something going on that takes 3 seconds before the actual page is rendered and showing in your browser. So time to first byte is one of the best metrics you can use to say, I have a performance server, yes or no.
Okay,
and so ideally, that is well below the 100 milliseconds.
Okay, so that's a good little thing to write down. So if it's below 100 milliseconds, you kind of have the stamp of approval, if you like. That's a good metric to work on. Okay, that's easy to parse that. But because there's a myriad of hosts out there in the WordPress space and a myriad of different requirements from different people for what their website needs to achieve, it's mm-hmm. very much like a case of going into the, I don't know, the supermarket aisle for breakfast cereal. They're all there. You just need to go and have a look, decide what suits your palate, decide what suits your budget, and yep. take the one that's right for you. But do some research. Don't just expect that because it's expensive, it's good, and because it's cheap, it's bad. You never know. There might be some overlap there, but broadly speaking,
I'd go as far as say that if it's cheap, it's cheap for a reason.
I think what I meant to say there was, you know, if it's like, I don't know, if it's $100 as opposed to $150 per calendar month or something like that, it's not necessarily guaranteed. Do some research is what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So that's the foundations of our website. That's the hosting. Where would you go from there?
So the next step is installing WordPress, obviously. By default, that'll be fast and performant. There's really no reason for vanilla version of WordPress to be slow. So if it is, you have different problems to start with. But there's essentially different ways of building your site. And there are, let's just say that there's roughly two main ways of doing this. You either build a site based on what WordPress provides, so the site editor, or you use a page builder. This is probably the most common thing to look at now as the two ways of how do you build. A page builder is not a page builder, meaning there are really good ones and there are really mediocre ones and there are really bad ones. Again, this is something you'll have to research for yourself. I found Bricks to be the most performant, but there's ways you can build in any page builder that by pure definition makes your site slow just because you're not using the best practices and things like that. So the list of okay page builders to mediocre is quite large. And there's also a quite large list of page builders that are just crap. This is something you're going to have to test for yourself. There's too many ways to determine what's going to work for you because it also depends on the skill set you have, what you like. Some page builders are more developer friendly, some are less developer friendly. One of my least favorite is WP Bakery. Just don't like what they're doing in terms of performance, in terms of flexibility, in terms of, this is another topic entirely, but the whole lock-in system that they build, once you're in there, you can never leave. I don't like that principle from an open data point of view, but there's a lot of stuff in between and there's just ways of testing how things work. The goal here is that you find the tool that works for you in the most amount of scenarios with the least amount of performance hit. And those are things you can test while you're building. You shouldn't just test homepage. You should test landing pages. You should test blog posts. You should test product pages, checkout pages, all of those things. You should test them in performance on cached version and uncached version. This shouldn't be a thing that you just haphazardly, oh, I'm kind of done, but maybe now I should look at how that thing is performing. Because if you try
can
to
I just ask,
before, yeah.
But, oh, sorry, I was just going to quickly ask a question. When you're talking about these page builders, it sounded like you've got two things here. You've got page builders and the WordPress block editor, the default editor in WordPress. So at the minute, we're talking about everything which doesn't come installed with WordPress. The block editor is something different. So you're not classing that as a page builder. This is all the commercial stuff or the stuff that you can get from the repo or what have you. Okay. So I just wanted to make that definition clear. So at the moment, we're talking about things that you either buy or get from WordPress.org. So Bricks, Elementor, Divi, all, you know, you can list them
all of
those. There's dozens and dozens of them. Okay. Firstly, and there's no affiliate weirdness with this. This is just, you mentioned Bricks and I keep hearing a lot about Bricks. Why is that kind of piqued your interest as doing a good job? Just some specifics.
So what I don't like about Bricks is that it's a system, which is a lock-in. It's a system that introduces an entirely new UI. User interface. I don't think it looks very native to WordPress, and I'd like things to be native to WordPress. I think it's less confusing for people to see one version of a UX and UI. That said, they have solved quite a few things quite well, and they are everything they've done in their build process of building Bricks is done with performance in mind. And you can tell because a default site built in Brix will, in my experience, outperform a default build in most other page builders.
Okay.
So they're just doing things right.
Yeah, that's all the metric that we need, really, isn't it? So, okay, got it. That works really well. So, yeah, go and search for your page builder of choice. But, yeah.
The affiliate thing I mentioned with hosting is also here quite a thing.
I see that if you go out and do a top 10 WordPress page builders, it's quite likely that Google is going to serve you up lists, listicles, we might call them, where the intention isn't to surface information. It's just that you click on their affiliate link and they're not really bothered. Okay. That's good to know.
So the second version of building a site is indeed with the site editor, WordPress's internal site editor. I would recommend you start with that in most cases, because once you familiarize yourself with the tools you have to your availability there, there's not that many sites that you cannot build. You may need some custom code. You may need a few plugins that do a few things extra. Sure, but your tool set there has vastly improved over the last 2 years in terms of what you can do with the site editor and how you can extend it. So
we're recording this in October 2024, and as of now, I think basically the WordPress default, you know, the one that you download from WordPress.org. Yep. You can do so much with it now. There is a few things that you still cannot achieve, or you know that
even just, the default
it's difficult to achieve. Yeah, right. It's basically able to do things pixel for pixel as you would get from a designer in Figma or something like that. You just have to learn the tooling, basically, don't you?
Correct. So a wonderful tool that it'd be bad if I didn't mention it, but there's a Create Block Theme, which is a plugin. which allows you to use WordPress's default 2024 or the 2025 upcoming version of the default theme. Create your own version of, based off of the original, but have it saved separately. That plugin sort of helps you with the creation of that. It's very intuitive. It's very straightforward. The native version has my preference for performance and just general native to WordPress preference.
So, okay, in the scenario that we've got so far, you've done your homework, you found your host, and basically your preferred way of doing it is just to download WordPress from WordPress.org and run with that, not only as the software of choice, the CMS of choice, but as the design tool of choice. So the thing that you're going to build your post pages, custom post types with is the block editor. Maybe you're going to write some custom code. Maybe there's a block that you want to download from the repository or from a third party, but we're dealing with the block editor. And that's the way you're going anyway. Okay.
Yep. And my two favorite themes to play and work with are Ollie and Rockbase. Those are quite extensive versions of a full site editor theme that have a lot of extra patterns, landing pages, specific solutions, full pages even available through, just by installing them. Rockbase is only a premium. Ollie is in the WordPress repository, and there's Ollie Pro, which is in addition to their base theme. Ollie Pro is a plugin that extends their theme, and both are well worth your investment.
The thing that I like about them is we're in this world now of patterns where pre-installed, pre-designed, if you like, pages or rows or whatever you want to call it, just little components that make up the rows are available in those themes. And honestly, if you're just after a quick turnaround for a website, you could be done in with the click of a few buttons if you're just happy with the default design. But also I like the opinionated nature of both of those. They've got a certain design brand style. They make things which just look very modern and very beautiful. So yeah, solid recommendations. I like both of those.
So when you have when you've made all these decisions, you essentially still have to build a site, right? So but all the steps you've taken so far have been from the principle of I need something that is solid, like rock solid. I need something that is versatile, but I need it to be performant, and a good designed full set editing theme is exactly that. So this means that now from the theme, the WordPress site, and the hosting, I have made the best decision so far. Again, if you want to go the page builder route, there's the same considerations, but I have less opinion or preference on that side of the building tools.
Okay. So we put in place, we've got a website now, basically, haven't we? We're up and running. We've got a theme. Yep. We've got the software we need. We've got it hosted somewhere. Is there anything else you wanted to develop in this episode? Any other things?
I think the next step we should start talking about how we're extending it to do what we wanted to do and the decisions that we need to make while building it and how are we measuring and testing to make sure that whatever we're adding doesn't actually slow down your site, doesn't actually make your site too complex, doesn't actually make your site fully locked into a specific solution which you can never leave from. That is probably what we should talk about next in the next episode.
So should we call it a day of this episode? But we've managed to get to the point where you've made some decisions about a host, you've made some decisions about a theme, you've got your WordPress site up and running, and that's where we're going to go today. That'll be for the next episode. So in 3 months' time, we'll get onto, I don't know, plugins, extending WordPress and clever decisions that you can make to not lock yourself in for one particular vendor. Remkes, I really enjoyed that. Thank you very much. That's perfect. Do you want to just drop any URLs of where we can find you on the socials or anything like that before we depart?
ramk.us is my LinkedIn bio thing, has pretty much everything on there. So https. ramk.us.
Okay, remk.us. remk.us. Yes. Yeah, okay. I will put that in the show notes as well. Yeah, well, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it. And we're back in 3 months' time to carry on this conversation. So you got a little bit of time to wait, but you never know. There might be some news in between now and then in the WordPress space, all to do with optimization, amongst other things. But we're not going to talk about those. I'll see you next time, Remkes.
All right. Thanks, man.
Well, I hope that you enjoyed that fascinating chatting to Remkes today, all about the very basics of getting your website optimized. If you've got any commentary on that, head to wpbuilds.com, search for episode number 394, and leave us a comment there. We'd really appreciate it. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also joined by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud, managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today for yourself at bluehost.com/cloud. And we're also joined by Omnisend. Omnisend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend, the email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Well, try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. And sincere, heartfelt thanks go to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, and Omnisend for helping keep the lights on over at WP Builds. Okay, that's all I've got time for this week. I hope that you enjoyed it. Don't forget wpldn.uk/masterclass if you're able to join us live and in person on Halloween, 31st of October in central London. wpbuilds.com/black for all your Black Friday deals. Go bookmark that. And that really is it. I'm going to fade in some cheesy music and say, stay safe. Have a good week. Bye-bye for now.